object. Then you will be this animal you will be born in Deva realm. The rebirth consciousness will take this Deva as object. Is it clear? Okay.
Sister, in your earlier slide for near-death Idor, time in the process, the Idor was seen as color red. The color red is a very simple type of awareness, sensory mechanism. But here, you seem to be showing extremely complex concepts. A forest is not just one concept, it's concepts built upon other concepts. And so, I don't see how one I or D could comprehend a whole series of concepts. You see what I'm saying?
You mean they're using the red color?
No, I'm talking about in this case, the forest.
Forest is
being cognized by one of these limited stages, right?
Yes, by last cognitive process. Yes.
And so that cognitive process can understand something as complex as the idea of a forest, which is a series of concepts built upon concepts.
This is no concept.
The forest is a concept.
Forest concept, yes. This is ultimate truth. Consciousness are ultimate truth.
So then how can a concept be involved with ultimate truth?
This concept, this means a fear because of previous karma, which has met all the conditions to reference, and it appears as a nimitta only. It's a sign only.
Okay, it appears to what?
To the dying person's idol cognitive process.
Okay, so that's not shown up here on the screen. Is that shown up here on the screen?
Where is it shown that the Idor is involved? Starting with the E, right? There's the Idor right there.
Starting with S, five stars. This is a sixth process. So this cognitive process, seeing this forest.
Oh, there's the color of the forest.
Green.
Right? This has its meaning.
Is it? Do you mean that? No, I don't think you mean that.
The concept is extremely complex because concepts are built on other concepts. They're built on belief systems, and now I'm being told that one of these little dots is a very primitive, very fast cognitive process, and
right,
can understand what a forest is.
Mm-hmm. But this lasts for a long time.
So it's more than one cognitive process. The image of the forest?
This can be last for a long time, but this process only lasts the last cognitive near death, very close to death. We only we say that this is called idol near death cognitive process. But previously, can be many idol cognitive process, taking that forest as object.
Okay.
Can be, but it's not. We cannot call last near death cognitive process. Okay? Okay. I don't know your photo or not. Okay, now let us say we see another good sign. Okay, so finish this one. So we got consciousness, take this as object. Then Bhavanda also same. Then the death also same. So in one lifetime, rebirth consciousness, Bhavanda and death consciousness take the same object. Okay, suppose a dying person, just like Dhammika, I told the story yesterday, seeing the Deva during his dying moment. This Deva, it can persist for a long time. The nimitta, Deva is the sign of destination. This nimitta can persist for a long time. But only the last cognitive near death we call near death cognitive process. Okay? So seeing this Deva, I didn't have to explain again. Then the rebirth consciousness arrives in the Deva realm, driven by the force of deformation which has not been cut off. Then a rebirth consciousness see this Deva as object. The Bhavanga also see Deva as object. Then the death consciousness also see Deva as object. Okay.
You see Deva as live a really long time, sister?
Yes.
How long?
It can be very long time, also can be very short, depend on their karma. Okay, yes.
Is a Western person going to see a nimitta that is from an Asian culture?
Very unlikely.
I think this is the law of that cognitive process. Whether you are black or white or yellow, I think maybe the form is different, but it's a symbol of deva. Maybe the form is different. Okay, now suppose now it's normal eye dog connected process. My dog connected process. Seeing Pati Bhaga Nimitta. Okay? Pati Bhaga Nimitta appear as very bright like diamond. So a meditator, before diamond moment, he can enter into jhana, for some first jhana. Then the mind door connected process arises. No more eye door because pati bhaga nimitta is apprehended by mind door. So the mind door connected process arises. First is bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, arresting bhavanga. Then bhavanga cut off. Followed by mind door averting consciousness, taking pati bhaga nimitta as object. Then five jhavana, taking pati bhaga nimitta as object. Then this person passed away with first jhana, taking pati bhaga nimitta as object. Then after that, that consciousness arises, perform the function of passing away from that existence. Then the rebirth consciousness arises in the Brahma realm, in the five material sphere. Okay? Then followed by rebirth consciousness, followed by 16 bhavanga, then the first mind door connected process, craving for the new existence in the Brahma realm. Then the consciousness continues to flow up to the death moment. The death moment also takes pati bhaga nimitta as object. Is it clear to you or not?
Okay. Sister, if I'm a very good meditator and I do really well and I go through all the jhanas and I practice vipassana and I have pretty good understanding of I can shed myself from a lot of my craving and attachment, but I don't actually make it to Sotapanna.
You didn't actually
make it to be a Sotapanna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I die and I'm reborn in my next life. Do I have to start all over again?
Or start all over again, the jhana.
Not just the jhana, but the craving, the attachment. Right? Is it just as strong as it was when I was born into this life?
So long you have not yet cut off your deferment, the craving and attachment, that attachment will always follow you.
Maybe I haven't cut it off, but I've shaved it down quite a bit. Doesn't it matter?
Pardon. She wants to breath between them.
Just like you. Even jhana temporarily suppressed. Even those who have jhana, they only temporarily suppress the craving and attachment. When he came out from jhana, he can get angry also very quick. Only the path consciousness can permanently uproot.
But sister,
but
the parami, doesn't that sort of feed into that concept that you've developed certain paramis over different lifetimes, and so maybe the one for generosity is more developed in the next life as a result of the good actions in this life.
Correct.
And so in that way, sort of a tearing down because you carry that with you, that inclination.
Yes, that's correct. But because you mentioned jhana, because she mentioned jhana. Correct, yes. If you perform that generosity, jhana parami, then it becomes strengthened and strengthened in your future. Yes, correct.
I was just going to say something like that.
Okay, we... Okay.
Is craving at... Is that a single intensity? Or is that... Or can you have very high craving for existence or very low craving for existence?
So long you are not anagami, the craving for existence is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the cause, origin of suffering. That's why we do want to die, because crave for existence. I think when somebody told me that they don't like the Theravada's teaching that Arahan not come back again. Very fearful. So they changed to Mahayana, because according to the teaching of Mahayana, Arahan still can come back again. So wonderful. So this shows that the craving for existence, they still want to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
So craving for existence is very, very strong craving.
So even if you do, I think your question was, even if you do, let's say, 80% vipassana, not 100%, your craving will still be just as strong as if you do 0% vipassana.
Maybe less percent. Because he already anicca, dukkha, anatta of my materiality and mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So the craving become less and less.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just that not uproot yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. I think maybe
this question that keeps coming up in the different things you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was reading recently in the newspaper about these young men in Nebraska who videotape like the burning corpses of the Iraqi soldiers that they shoot and kill, and sort of make videos and send it to their families as email attachments and things. And when they're with other boys, they high five each other and they're very happy. And I think that they're sort of burning the sign of karma into their mind, because not only is it something they did, but something they watch again and again. And what I worry about is if somebody else who didn't do it watches that, might that image come up in their mind at this death proximate moment and condition rebirth, like in a lower realm? Or for instance, if I live here in this room and I sleep on that sofa as my dying bed and I'm staring at the forest when I die, would I be reborn as an animal? Because that was the last image that I had.
Well, I think the question is if you visually see something,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you've experienced during your whole life,
mm-hmm.
In this last moment, if you're sitting here dying and you're looking out at the woods, does that mean you have to be reborn an animal? But isn't there a stronger karma? Remember that?
Yeah. But you think that it may not be your nimitta.
Yeah.
May not be your nimitta.
So remembering something that I saw that was very bad.
Mm.
But
if at that moment you die, maybe, I think. If you remember something very frightening during dying moment, then it may not be.
But even though it is not your karma, you did not do the action, but you had mental volition thinking about it or rejoicing about something you saw.
But there was even proximate or...
But it sounds here as if whatever comes up at the last moment, whether you did it or not, but if it's a strong image in your head, it could condition where you take rebirth.
Okay, I'll give you the answer tomorrow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Shall we continue? Okay. Now, suppose a meditator, during his dying moment, he discerns the impermanence of materiality and mentality. Then he passed away. Before he passed away, the mind-door cognitive process discern this impermanence of materiality or mentality, then he passed away with vipassana inside knowledge. Then the death consciousness occurs, perform the function of passing away. Then rebirth consciousness arise either in Deva realm or human realm. This rebirth consciousness also discerns the impermanence of formation. And the Bhavanga also discerns the impermanence of formation. And the depth consciousness also discerns the impermanence of formation. Such meditator, if he practice, if he continue practice vasana in this life, from the rebirth, now this life, such meditator, if he continue to practice meditation or vipassana, very quick, very swiftly, you can see nirvana. Why? Because it's called host, H-O-S-T, host. Bhavanga is called host. The host is accompanied with the sharp wisdom of discerning impermanence of formation. So it becomes very supportive karma for the present life. Now whenever you come to the practice, when people teach you vipassana, very soon supported by the Bhavanga mind, who already penetrated into impermanence of formation, very quickly realize nirvana. Just like Samana Bhikkhu. Samana Bhikkhu, after gain the instruction from the Lord Buddha, he practiced very hard. He retired in the forest, practiced very strenuously. Because he practiced too hard that his health get affected. One day, during vipassana meditation, during walking meditation, he died. Then immediately he was reborn in Deva realm. We have four types of birth. One is called spontaneous birth, just like Deva and hungry ghost. This type of being appear in the world as an adult. And some are egg birth, some are moisture birth, some are womb, like human being, mother's womb birth. So we have four types. For Deva, for this being, he takes spontaneous birth in the Deva realm. Because he died during meditation, so he appeared in the Deva realm with sitting posture, still continue his meditation. How wonderful. Because spontaneous rebirth, immediately after that rebirth, in one blink of eye, so many consciousness arise, passed away without a gap. If you rest, then you fall down your vipassana. No time to. If there's rest in between, then you may not continue his vipassana. But because there's no gap, immediately spontaneous rebirth. He was appear in the Deva realm, in the sitting posture, still constant meditating. But the Devi, female Deva, or the Lord is coming. So the female Deva want to entertain this new Deva. But because he still don't know he already passed away. This meditator, he don't know yet he passed away. He still, so he thought he still be good, staying in the meditation posture. So he do not care about what the Devi do. So then this Devi said, in his previous life must be a meditating monk. I must show him his Deva now, not a monk. So the Devi bring a big mirror, put in front of him. See your new appearance, see your new form. So when the Deva opened his eyes, see his new form, he was so aghast. Because his aim is to hit Nibbana, not to become Deva. So he was so aghast. So he quickly flew down to the human realm and tell his plight to the Buddha. And the Buddha gave him short instruction and he attained Sotapanna. So those who pass away with discerning impermanence of formation, immediately next birth, very quick you will see the karma. Okay?
These stories that were told by the Buddha to
yes,
or in, written down?
Yes, yes. Or in Dhammapada. You know, Dhammapada. Because the Buddha, when something happened, uh-huh. then the Buddha will give a verse that's related to the story. I cannot create that story.
Yeah. In those moments when he was totally abashed at his appearance, wouldn't he be saying negative karma in the
The aghast is the...
Is it a form of aversion?
Even that's a very short mind moment of aversion. But now, after when to see Buddha, he already becomes Sotapanna. So he will never go to four apaya again.
Maybe in the Brahma world, aversion may not be as, you know, do they have the same thing?
Aversion?
Aversion, hate, overdose, moha.
Brahma has very less because Brahma only stays with the jhana.
Yeah.
So, no opportunity to get angry. Okay.
I have a follow-up question. In a lot of religions, people say the stories are symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you're saying that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. What I say is happened during Buddha's time. Mm. So I should say a real event rather than using stories. What was happening during Buddha's time, and Buddha spoke up. They record down. In the first concept, of course, they cannot report and memorize. Ananda memorized all.
Mm.
Ananda's mind, like computer, can memorize all.
And so when somebody died, they went to the Buddha and asked where that person would be.
Mm.
And Buddha used to tell.
Mm. Okay, now a very good question to consider. Can we say this rebirth consciousness transmigrate from the previous life?
Transmigrate?
No.
No.
I think Western life we use transmigrate. The same consciousness, okay. This rebirth is the same consciousness transmigrate from the previous life. Can we say that?
Westerners don't like to use that word.
No.
They don't use it. They say reincarnation.
Earth soul.
Okay, a soul, can we say this rebirth consciousness is a new soul transmigrates from the previous life? No.
No.
That's Hindu.
A new soul or the same soul?
The same soul. Okay, the same soul comes, this rebirth consciousness arrives in the human realm.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say the same soul comes from the previous life? Can we say that?
Is that what the Hindus say?
But now we ask, yeah. Can we say that?
No.
Okay. If you accept it's the same soul come from the previous life, it's a view of eternalism. It's a wrong view of eternalism. Or can we say that this rebirth consciousness, if you identify rebirth consciousness as soul, okay? If you identify, then can we say this same soul or rebirth consciousness has nothing to do with previous existence? Can we say that?
No.
No. If you say that this rebirth consciousness is the same soul, rebirth consciousness is the new soul, nothing to do with previous existence. It's another wrong view of annihilation. Annihilation. So one should be very careful not to entangle with this wrong view, these two wrong views. Neither eternalism nor annihilation. Then why does this rebirth consciousness arise?
Did you say why?
With karma. Cause and effect.
With the karma.
Yes. It's because of the previous karma which has met all the conditions to produce rebirth consciousness. So the teaching of the Buddha is only cause and effect. Only cause and effect.
Can you say the comma follows something? To what is it attached?
Comma get the result. The comma rooted in ignorance and craving get the result. This is the result of the previous karma performed, rooted in craving and ignorance.
I thought we said Vibhanga had that function, that Vibhanga was conditioned because the rebirth consciousness for the
same. Rebirth consciousness and Vibhanga is the same consciousness. Mm-hmm. The same consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, sister, are you saying consciousness, making a distinction between consciousness and the soul?
A bit, mm-hmm.
You're making a distinction between consciousness.
Consciousness
and
is not
the soul.
A soul, it's not a soul. I think you did not attend the lecture. Consciousness is not soul. Soul is something permanent. But consciousness arrives, pass away, arrives, pass away at tremendous speed.
Oh, would that be the Buddhist view?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So at the rebirth consciousness, at the very moment of rebirth consciousness, 30 matter and 30 materiality are produced. What are the 30? Number one is called sex dekhet kalapa. Number two, body dekhet kalapa. And number three, heart-based dekhet kalapa. These are only for human being. For human being. So at the rebirth moment, 30 matter are produced. And also rebirth consciousness must be associated with mental factors. All consciousness must arise associated with mental factors. At this case, about 34 or 33 mental factors arise together with rebirth consciousness. So at the rebirth moment, mind and matter are there already. Mind and matter are produced already. Mind and matter is ultimate reality. Before I go further, I want to tell you what is sex defect kalapa. So body detect kalapa. Materiality cannot arise alone. Materiality must arise in a group. We call body detect kalapa. The 8 elements, earth element, water, fire, wind, color, smell, taste, nutrition, essence, life, vitality, plus body sensitivity is called body dekhet kalapa. So this kalapa, this materiality arises during rebirth consciousness, the first conception in the mother's womb. Body dekhet kalapa already arisen. Then heart-based dekhet kalapa also arises together with rebirth consciousness. There are 8 elements in the heart. Based dekhet kalapa. Depend on this heart-based. Okay. And the sexual dekhet kalapa. If she's a woman, then earth element, water, fire, wind, color, smell, taste, nutrition, essence, life, vitality, and femininity. So these 30 matter are produced at the very moment of conception as rebirth consciousness. And the consciousness and as I have said, rebirth consciousness must arise accompanied with mental factors. So mind and body are produced at the very moment. And this mind and body are equal to the 5 aggregates of clinging, which is the truth of suffering. five aggregates of clinging, aggregate of materiality, aggregate of feeling, aggregate of perception, aggregate of formation, and aggregate of consciousness. Aggregate of materiality equal to the 30 matter. Aggregate of feeling is the feeling, mental factor of feeling associated with rebirth consciousness. Aggregate of perception is the mental factor of perception accompanied with rebirth consciousness. And the remaining mental factor, for example, contact, one-pointedness, mindfulness, concentration, one-pointedness, mindfulness, non-hatred, non-greed, and so on, are called aggregates of formation. And the aggregate of consciousness equal to the rebirth consciousness. So five aggregates, same as mind and matter. And this five aggregates of clinging, the being cling, this five aggregates as I, myself, I am. Thus, it becomes the truth of suffering. So at the very moment of conception, the truth of suffering are already there. Where does this truth of suffering come from? The answer will be given tomorrow. Okay? Another 4 minutes, 3 minutes left. Any questions? This topic is a bit complicated.
Can you say them again, what the feeling aggregate was?
When I reach that, okay.
You were talking about the desire for...
new existence.
Pardon me? The desire for being, for existence.
Hmm.
What is meant by the desire for non-existence?
Craving for non-existence.
Craving for non-existence. What is meant by that?
Desire for after this life, finish, everything finished. Just like N9 inhalation.
So it's just the desire for death, it's not the desire for parinibbana.
Mm-hmm. Desire for parinibbana, we cannot say craving.
Okay.
But this also wrong view, because whether you do want to, whether you, even though you do not desire for next birth, but the karma will send you to the next birth.
If there is an individual who's done a lot of good deeds in their life, but then they take their own life.
They take their own life?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Can you comment on the rebirth?
Go to unwholesome state. Uh-huh. In Buddhism, killing life is very heavy command.
Mm-hmm.
Either your life or other people's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that moment is done with anger, a lot of anger. Killing, committing suicide is done with a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sister, there was a case of a monk who committed suicide, but the Buddha said that he
commits suicide. But before he died, he contemplated vipassana. So he hit arahantship before he died. Then no problem if you can. Okay.
I have a question about the deva realm, mm-hmm. where it said that everything is, you know, very pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So would the main defilement that comes up be greed and not aversion?
You develop a lot of attachment, okay, to the sensual pleasures.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you say, in a way, that practicing meditation in this way is like a long, sort of methodical suicide? I mean, what we're doing is very systematically killing ourselves, our sense of ourselves.
I say it again. Sorry.
We're
every day we go into the meditation hall and we sit and we meditate and we attempt to get rid of ourselves, like kill ourselves. So it's sort of like a very methodical suicide.
That suicide is good suicide. If you can kill yourself and then you become sort of bad, it's very good suicide. That is curing the mental defilement. It's very good. Here suicide is curing your life. That's different. Okay?
Sister, what's the viewpoint, Buddhist viewpoint on mercy killing or euthanasia?
Mercy killing. I think we have discussed it before.
Oh, sorry.
Mercy killing. I think the person, for example, I die, before I die, I suffer a lot. But you, out of compassion for me, give me a dosage, let me die early. This is called mercy killing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to bear my own karma. It's my bad karma I have to suffer. So, you should not interrupt, I think. I pay my own karma. If you interrupt, you are creating a new karma. That's not good.
Thank you.
Okay, we should stop here. We continue tomorrow. Here I can still know. Idame Punyam Asawa Kayawaham
Asawa Kayawaham
Odu
Odu
Idame
Idame
Punyam
Punyam
Nibbanasa
Nibbanasa
Pachayo
Pachayo
Odu
Odu
Desawata
Desawata
Chaammehi
Chaammehi
Sampadam
Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Punya Sampadam
Sabbe Deva
Sabbe Deva
Sabbe Buddha
Sabbe Buddha
Sabbe Satta
Sabbe Satta
Anumodantu
Anumodantu
Sabba
Sabba
Sampati
Sampati
Vidya
Vidya
Sadhu
Sadhu
Sadhu. Thank you. Please go for your meditation.